idea today and, at this phase in life. Well, let's take that to a whole nother level. Think about it from the Creator's standpoint. Think about it from God's standpoint. And He made us, He made everything for us. And if He says something, when He says something, how important is it to Him what He's saying to us, His creation? All right? So let's think about that. Is God's word, is what He says, important to God, to Himself? So think about, everything around us today. Our friends, society, everybody at school, wherever we're at, even churches, religious, denominations, around us. Think about how we all approach God's word. All right? How many people agree on what God says? Pretty difficult to find people who agree, isn't it? Everybody has their own interpretation of what God says. Well, what God says, we're going to look at, is it important to God? We're going to read here in John chapter 1 here in just a second. So, if it is indeed important to God, then the next point we'll make is how I treat God's word reflects my attitude toward God. All right, that makes sense, doesn't it? My actions reflect my attitude toward Him. And then we'll establish how we can honor God's word. So just three things this morning that we'll look at. So first of all, in John chapter 1, look at the first few verses there. Just kind of as a baseline, that the point is, and he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, those of you, a lot of us know this passage, and understand who the Word is. It tells us in verse 14 and 15 and beyond that the Word is Christ. The Word is God. He's making a little bit of, play on words there of substituting, the Word for Christ. But think about that even being quite, I can't say literal, but how can we separate, can the Word, can what He says be separated from Christ? Can the Word be separated from God? These things are quite linked together that they can't really be separated, can they? So the Word is Christ. The Word was God in verse 1. So think about that. That it is so engaged, entwined, that they are the same. Well, so think about that. When we are reading His Word, when we are reading it, when we are seeing it, and even back then when they were seeing Christ and hearing Him, what were they seeing and hearing? God's Word. All right, so those things are very much linked. Look over to John chapter 8 now. And Jesus was talking to a group of people. And this group of people, they were asking some questions, they were making comments, and Jesus was teaching them. But look down to verse 47, kind of getting toward the middle to the end of their conversation that's recorded for us. And He tells them, verse 47, "He who is of God hears the words of God." So, who is of God? One who hears God. One who listens. One who doesn't outright dismiss what God is saying. Right? So, today, I have a request. And you're here and you already know, and you're already going to do this, I know. But we're going to be sitting here for quite a few hours today. And we're going to be looking at God's Word. The first thing that we want to do is we're going to listen. And I know you're going to do that. And even this early in the morning, I can see everybody's listening and paying attention. It's great. But that's what, you know, here in this example, that's what he said. Those who are of God are going to do what? They're going to listen. So first thing is we're going to listen. In this particular example, these people, they didn't listen. They heard the words Jesus was saying, but they weren't listening. And in the end of this conversation, they were ready to kill him. They were ready to kill Jesus. They weren't listening. So, first of all, we're going to listen. Look over to John chapter 12 now. And verse 48. In that example, that group of people, they rejected him. They weren't listening to Jesus. Verse 48, he's talking to a group here, and he tells them, "He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings." So just that part right there. If you were wanting to reject Jesus, how would you do it? Don't listen. Don't receive what he's saying. But if we want to give him a chance and to be a part of our lives, to be in us, first thing is we're going to listen. The next thing is we're going to receive what he's saying. All right. So those two things. So far. Now, with that, we're going to look at, turn over to Ezra. All right, so Ezra, chapter 9. Now that we've established listening, we've established receiving his word. In Ezra, we have an example of. Or the idea of how we approach, how I treat God's word is going to reflect my attitude toward him. Thinking about honoring God's word, we've got it up here on this pedestal. We're looking toward it, all right? We're going to honor it. How do we do that? Well, we do that by our attitudes, by what we do, our actions. In Ezra chapter 9, we're not going to go through this whole thing, the whole story, but in verse 6, they come to the conclusion, Ezra comes to the conclusion in this particular event in history. He comes to the conclusion that they've not been doing something that they should, or they've done something that they shouldn't have done. All right? Let's look at his attitude. Let's look and see what his feelings are about that and the people's feelings. In verse 6, he says, "Oh my God, I am ashamed and embarrassed to lift up my face to you, my God, for our iniquities have risen above our heads and our guilt has grown even to the heavens." He was, and they were ashamed and embarrassed of something that they had done that they weren't supposed to do. They were listening to God's word, weren't they? They were listening to what he was saying. Now, it may be that in the course of today's lessons that you might find yourself in a similar situation. That you may find yourself listening and hearing what, you know, all these men are going to be saying. And you think to yourself, I shouldn't be doing something that I'm doing. Or you may find I should be doing something that I'm not doing. And if that's the case, that you find yourself in that situation, then you've listened. You've done what I've asked of all of you. And the next thing is what are you going to do about it? You can't ignore that. That's your choice. You can decide, I'm going to keep going the way I'm going and the choices I'm making. It's your choice. But look at some examples, and let's keep going here with Ezra and see the other side of that. You may choose, I need to be doing that. I'm going to honor God's word. Then I'm honoring God and Christ. And so keep looking here with me in Ezra chapter 9, verse 10. Chapter 9, verse 10. He comes to the conclusion as he's going through this, and he says, "Now our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken your commandments." Ezra, the people, they came to this same, that conclusion is like, we have forsaken God's commandments. They have not honored God's word and what he wanted them to do. So, what did they do about it? So the choice that might be in front of you today or sometime in your life, it's definitely hit them square in the eye, before them, that they were forced to make a decision about what they were doing, about what God's word, what God wanted them to do. So what did they do in this situation? Well, in verse 11, there's a few verses that we could read, but in verse 11, Ezra encourages them, "Now therefore make confession to the Lord God your fathers and will to follow God's word." Well, now, before this moment, when they made that decision, after not, they were not honoring God's word, but yet they were fasting and praying. You might find yourself in that situation that, I'm worshiping God, I'm praying, I'm singing, I'm, doing all these things and worshiping God, but I've got something wrong. That was their situation. That they had something in their lives that they had to change. And they changed it at the end of Ezra. You can read through that, that book to find out all the information, but, look in verse 20. All right, we'll keep going. So when they made the change, when they realized this, they listened, obviously. They received his word. That's the second thing. The next thing in honoring God's word is that they changed. They did make the change. They obeyed. So what are the things that are involved in honoring God's word? Well, first of all, listening. Giving his word, giving God the respect to listen. Then it's our choice what to do with that. We can receive it. We can keep going on our own way. It's our choice. We can receive it. And if we decide to receive it, then obey it. And that would wrap that, and that would honor God's word, wouldn't it? All right? So, in Nehemiah chapter 8, they had another situation, another instance. All right? They had another situation, another instance where they were doing something or they weren't doing something in this case that they should have been doing. And Ezra brings out the book, and he opens the book, and when he opens the book, a few things happen here. He opens the book, and this is the word that we put up on this pedestal. He opens it up. What do the people do? They stand up. They honor. They give respect to God's word. But they didn't stop there. What did they keep doing in verse 5 and verse 6? They worship God, but then they changed positions. They weren't standing up anymore. What did they do? They bowed down low with their faces to the ground and worshiped. That's a picture of honoring God's word. When that book opened, they were ready to worship. They respected what God said. Now, in this case, they did something. They had not done something God had told them to do. Well, they changed. They listened. They understood. We need to be doing this and observing this memorial. It was one of the feasts that they had not been observing that God had told them to, the Feast of Booths. So in this case, they were not doing something. So they listened, they received God's word, and then they obeyed, and they began observing the, I teach it this way, it was God's ordained camping. That was what they were to do. They were to build these structures out of branches and limbs and live out there for a week in these booths, the Feast of Booths. So they began doing that again. Well, sometimes changing course and obeying God, sometimes it might be easy, like in their case, they started observing the memorial, the feast that God had told them to. Other times, it may be extremely difficult to obey God's word and to honor His word. Thinking back to the first example, it required a huge life change for some of the people because they had done something God had told them expressly, don't do. They had gone and married and intermingled and married and joined themselves to other people, to other nations, and had married and even started families with them. God had told them, don't do that. But when they understood, when they listened, and they received what God had said, the obedience part of that, what did they have to do? They had to separate from that. They had to quit doing that. They had to separate and put that back the way it was supposed to be, the way God had intended it in the beginning. So obedience is very difficult sometimes, but you can do some things to help that. Now, what are some things in our lives, in your life, that affect how perhaps easy it is to obey or how difficult it is? Some things can help us and hurt us in that area. Family, friends, our background, where we come from. All that can affect how we do this, how difficult it is. Well, take for example, the prodigal son. You know that example, the parable that Jesus told us. And, you know, the prodigal son went off, took the inheritance, went off, you know, wild living, righteous living. He comes back with his hat in his hand. He asks for forgiveness from his father. His father forgives him outright. You'll find that parents are very forgiving people because they love us very much. And that's the example for us here, that God is very forgiving. But think about his brother who was in that house. He'd been loyal the whole time to his father, but now his brother comes back. His brother didn't make it easy for him, did he? To obey. All right? So made it difficult for him. Think about another example, maybe a better example, is an individual from the Old Testament who lived in a house was completely godless, grew up in that house, completely godless. In fact, they served other gods. And at a point in his life, he knew the true God, he knows the true God, and he has to decide, which one am I going to follow? Am I going to stay with the house where I grew up and everybody and my lifestyle and everything? Or am I going to accept and obey the true and living God? That was Moses. Moses had that choice. He grew up in the house of Pharaoh, but he had to make that choice. It's not an easy choice. It changed his life completely. He gave up everything in that house to go and, you know, follow God. So sometimes it's easier than other times. Well, wherever I'm coming from, no matter my family, no matter my background, no matter what I want to do, what I want to encourage you to do is listen, receive it, and obey it. Have the courage, have the strength to obey. Well, that's the challenge for us. When is it hardest to honor Jehovah's word? And we kind of touched on this already, but we have God's word, honoring his word. When is it hardest to do that? Well, when I'm alone, it can be very hard. When you feel like you're alone, there may be times when you feel like you're alone, even though you're surrounded by family and in other places. There may be times when you're really, really alone. You know, take, for example, Joseph. He found himself totally alone, sold into slavery, you know, winds up in prison, falsely accused. He was alone. But what did he do? He persevered. He did not give up. That's how he honored God's word. Maybe when threatened. Probably unlikely that we'll be threatened physically, you know, violently or anything, but you can think about your way of life. You may have to change. That may be threatened. And then we have to change. Well, we can look at John the Baptist. He was physically threatened. And, you know, all of a sudden he finds himself in prison for doing exactly what God wanted him to do. But what did he do? He had the courage and the strength when he was in prison, and he was about to have his head cut off for what he believed. You know, he could have at the very end said, oh, wait a second, Herod, you know what? I think God will be okay with you keeping, you know, your brother's wife this time. No. He persevered all the way to the end, didn't he? He didn't back down. We may be asked to stand up for God's word in that same way sometime in our life. Well, what about when I'm embarrassed and I'm ashamed of what I've done? Think about Peter, the apostle. What did he do? He was told that he was going to betray and deny Jesus. He was told that, right? And then he did it. How embarrassing, how ashamed, and the fact that Jesus did die that night. How embarrassing, how shameful that would have been, and how heavy that would have been on him. But what did he do? He changed, didn't he? And he became the apostle that we talk about, who teaches us, who provides us God's word. And became a stalwart example for us. Maybe when I have to give up something, maybe I love a lot that I like doing or participating in or whatever. Or what about the rich young ruler? What was it that he really liked? Riches. What he had, the things he had. What was he asked to give up? That very thing that he loved, that he put wasn't God's word up on the pedestal for him. It was his riches, what he had. In fact, for him, what did he choose? He didn't choose obedience, did he? He kept with what he had. Well, and finally, the biggest example of obedience that we can imagine is Jesus Christ himself, who was obedient to what point? Death on the cross. He did that for us. And the words that he speaks are the words that God speaks. And when we see that word up on this pedestal, can we do anything but honor that word? Thank you for your attention. We'll have a break or a song or, yeah, we'll have a break. All right, so 5 minutes-ish, 7 minutes, because I went over by 2 minutes.